to detonate the bomb. Israel's military chief says he does not believe Iran will decide to build nuclear weapons and that diplomatic and economic sanctions are enough. This is in contrast with statements from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's been 2 years since a BP oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, and the first arrest in the case has been made. NBC's Scott Walterman says former engineer Kurt Mix has been charged with obstruction of justice.
Lynn, it's alleged that he deleted about 300 text messages that showed the well was leaking way more crude oil than the company was telling the public.
This is NBC News Radio. Reports from Damascus that Syrian troops are attacking a suburb with mortar shells and machine guns. Just yesterday, Special Envoy Kofi Annan described the situation in Syria as bleak. The Fed wraps up its two-day meeting later today. They're not expected to change short or long-term interest rates. The Supreme Court today takes up Arizona's controversial state law on illegal immigration. Here's NBC News Justice Correspondent Pete Williams.
So frustrated by what it considers lax federal enforcement, the state passed a tough new law 2 years ago. And most controversially, it requires police making arrests or traffic stops to check the immigration status of anybody suspected of being here illegally and to detain them until their status can be verified.
The justices will explore whether lower federal courts were right to block that and other key provisions. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
Worries that the iPhone was past its best days of growth have been put to rest for now. Apple says it was a big jump in iPhone sales that helped it crush profit forecasts in the last quarter. Profit almost doubled as Apple sold 35 million iPhones in the opening 3 months of last year. And iPhone sales make up about half the company's revenue. Apple shares are surging pre-market. Walmart creating a new position in the wake of allegations it used bribes to help grow business in Mexico. The new job, Global Compliance Officer, will help make sure that the retailer does not violate U.S. anti-bribery law. But anti-Walmart groups are using the scandal to their advantage. USA Today says New York's Walmart Free NYC, for one, has been lining up fresh support since the bribery and cover-up allegations. It wants an investigation into the retailer's U.S. expansion tactics. Wall Street may expand this morning, in part thanks to Apple's earnings. S&P futures are higher by 9 points. NASDAQ jumping 50. Dow futures gaining 67. I'm Steve Potus at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good morning, everybody. It is Tony Trupiano, Wednesday, the 25th day of April 2012, and we've got a busy day for you today. I want to remind you, today is the day that we take nonviolent direct action. Nonviolent direct action. Today's target will be General Electric, as you are, I'm sure, aware. They are having their shareholders meeting in downtown Detroit this morning. And a little later on in the show, during our Occupy Detroit segment, we will be connecting with the protesters that are going to be headed over to the Renaissance Center where the meeting is taking place. I am finding it rather entertaining the way the television news media is covering this story this morning, and I'll come back to that in just a little bit. But to say that they don't understand the 99%, the Occupy movement, or nonviolent direct action is just, it's ridiculous. These are supposed to be journalists. They should be embarrassed by the way they report the news. They just don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is because they don't show up at the stuff they're invited to that explains to them what we're doing. All that being said, we'll get back to that. We've got a great program for you today. Representative Gary Peters will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. As many of you are aware and concerned, as you should be, unless legislation is passed before July 1st, the interest rate paid on the Stafford student loans will go from 3.2% to 6.8%. That's right, from 3.2 to 6.8. Congressman Gary Peters, along with colleagues in the House of Representatives, have come up with a solution to that. And we'll talk about that and talk about the reality of that perhaps passing. As you can, I'm sure, guess, Republicans, well, not in mass, but many Republicans are against this legislation, which continues to beg the question, what do they have against a generation of young people going to college? Because Republicans seem to be hell-bent against that. Julie Fisher Cummings will join us at 7:35 and talk about some work that the Max Fisher Foundation commissioned, a study that they commissioned that showed the importance of preschool education. We'll talk to her about that. Again, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. And then Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press will be with us today in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the bridge to somewhere, what's going to happen. And, you know, we talked about this briefly on the show last week. There will now be a question moved to the ballot. The Maroon family is supporting this idea that we need to vote on whether or not we want the new bridge and who should pay for it. It's democracy, folks. You got a right to it. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. With all that said, let us get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
You know, our first word today, not because we have Gary Peters on as representative, but, you know, I think it's important that we talk and we define what representative means in a variety of capacities. We have representatives in the workplace. We have representatives that are our politicians at every level of our lives, at the local level. I mean the real local level, at the state level, at the federal level, and in between. I said in our workplace we have representatives. If we are members of a union, even in non-union shops, there are often committees that are formed that represent certain issues in that shop, and so there are people that step up to those roles. You know, recently, in fact, yesterday, I was at my Whatever It Takes meeting at UAW Local 174, and we were talking about the importance of holding people accountable, especially our representatives, especially those people that have a direct influence and what impacts our lives. We should hold them responsible. Again, this is not about partisanship. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Just because you're represented by a Democrat doesn't mean that Democrat is representing you. What are you doing to hold them accountable? Are you checking on their record? Are you making sure they're doing the right thing? And if not, what are you doing to change it? Just saying, this is the kind of stuff, folks, that you have a direct impact in. So, as we get this Wednesday program underway, today's first word is representative. And hopefully representing somebody healthier today would be Jeff Radford. And, Jeff, how are you doing today?
A little healthier.
Well, every day a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
It sucks being sick, doesn't it?
Did you say you went to a meeting last night?
Yes, it was. It's normally on Wednesdays, but because of the shareholders meeting today, that group wanted to go down to that, and we needed to get some stuff passed so that they could bring some information to the shareholders meeting today. So, we changed it to Tuesday.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I was going to say, I don't normally remember it being Tuesdays.
It's normally not, and although I wasn't there till the end of the meeting, I'm sure that the next one will be 2 weeks from today, because normally it's on Wednesdays. But, we wrote a mission statement, and so we wanted to make copies of that to pass out today, but because the event begins in the morning and our meeting is at night, we didn't have that luxury, so we had to meet a day earlier, which was fine. I mean, it was fine. So, yeah. And then tonight, Jeff, I'm going to Grosse Pointe to speak at the Points for Peace group. Looking forward to that. They set that up weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And I'll get to the information on where I will be speaking and what time a little bit later on. But I'm looking forward to going out there and chatting with that group of people. Of course, I have a busy day Saturday. I've got a keynote address, two keynote addresses to give on Saturday. So the next few days, buddy, are going to be a little bit crazy, but for all the right reasons. So I'm happy about that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So anyway, back to your illness. Now, this is the first time that you have really been sick since we met a year ago.
Yeah, sure has. I didn't think. In fact, I kind of brought it on. I shouldn't have said anything, but I said, well, I'm eating healthier and working out more and being healthier all. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I got through the winter fine, which wasn't really a winter at all. And I even did the knock on wood. I said, oh, knock on wood, you know. And apparently that didn't help because like not even a week after I had mentioned that to somebody, here I am sick.
All right. So it was the mere mention of not being sick and then the superstition not working of knocking on wood that's the cause of all this?
Right.
Okay.
I'm glad you're following along. That's exactly what it is.
All right,
I think that's exactly what it is.
Sure, well, yeah, I just want to make sure I understand it. So I shouldn't say anything about the two-day almost little cold that I had, which is all I had all winter long. In fact, I haven't been sick the entire time, with the exception of that two-day little thing that I had. I haven't been sick the entire time we've been doing the show. So I shouldn't mention that. And the last thing I should do is knock on wood right now. And then I'll be okay.
So, I don't know. So that's a weird combination of the two.
Yeah,
you could probably do one, not the other. I don't know. I did both, and I got obviously screwed over in the end. So something about what I did went wrong.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better for what it's worth, and I'm hoping that you did get some rest the last couple of days.
That's the one thing that has been happening is I've been sleeping days away. Monday and Tuesday, it doesn't even seem like, you know, I was awake for the show, obviously.
Well, Anthony and I might argue with that on Monday. I'm not so sure you were awake on Monday.
Monday, well, the whole point is the last 2 days have been kind of a blur, like in and out of sleep. I sleep all night long, which is nice. And I get done with the show the last 2 days, and I've gone straight back and fell asleep for a couple hours, woke up around noon. I try to get some work done, but then somebody sends me an email saying, I thought you were supposed to be sleeping. So then I go back to sleep, wake up for dinner, and then go back to sleep for the rest of the night. The last 2 days have come by it's a blur, and they've gone by really fast.
But you've needed the rest. The only thing you can really do when you've got whatever it is you have is sleep. You, medication's not going to help you unless, you've got a stuffy nose or something. But for the most part, you can't take antibiotics. That's not going to help you. You just need to rest. That's all you really need to do. And when you're awake, whatever you can tolerate food-wise, and try to get as many liquids into you as possible so you don't dehydrate. But, yeah, you need to rest. And so I'm glad at some level you did a little bit of that.
It's the congestion is the killer, though. Because I think it might be a combination of, the cold. I think it's the cold, not necessarily the flu. I've never had, a fever, so. But I think it's, a cold hitting at the exact same time that allergies are acting up or something. Because it's just... it's acting very weird. I keep on getting, we mentioned yesterday about WebMD and my mom. So, my mom and family keep asking me, do you have this symptom? Do you have that symptom? Oh, well, then it must be this. Then it must be that. And I'm like, I go and look that up, and it's like everything but the major component is there. It's like, oh, yeah, you might have bronchitis. And it's like, I look it up, and it's like, no, you need a fever for that. Or,
Well, you know that you got something. That's what you know for sure.
They just keep scaring me, though. Oh, you might have. And then, a really long medical term comes out of their mouth. And I'm like, God, now I got to go look that up.
Well, let's just get better and not worry about it. How's that? All right, we'll come back the other side. We'll take a quick look at the Detroit Tigers. A quick look, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. Red hot start to the year. Not so much right now. Maybe we can figure that out. Feel free to join us, and we've got a lot of other things to get to, including, of course, Mitt Romney winning every primary last night, and had he had not, that would have been the real story. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. We will take the break and continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
It is all quiet on your roadways. No problems to report. Just remember to take your time when you're heading through those construction zones, especially if you have workers present. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center this year, marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good Wednesday morning to you. It is our midweek show. In fact, anybody that does a show today, this would be their midweek show. See how clever that is? Feel free to join us if there's something on your mind. 888-552-3595. Jeff, the Detroit Tigers lose again last night. I believe they're now 10-7 on the season, barely holding on to first place. Or they may have even slid a half a game behind last night. I didn't check the standings this morning. Listen, they lose 7-4. Last night, it's really more about pitching. I mean, you would expect if you score, you can score four runs, you can probably win behind good pitching. They didn't get it.
Well, it's always about pitching. I don't mean, it doesn't matter how many runs you score. You score two runs, you could win if you have really good pitching. So the entire season is going to be about that. And that's why, you know, it's only 17 games in. So you got 145 more to go, somewhere around there. It's going to be a long season. It'll be fine. It does kind of concern me that it's Scherzer. You know, Scherzer is always off to these slow starts. In fact, 2 years ago, we had to send him down to AAA for a little while. When he came back, he was lights out. It's almost like every year you have to send him down early. Yeah, Porcello actually is off to a pretty decent start, except for the other, you know, the last start. But other than that, he always normally starts out to a slow start. And Rayburn is terrible until August. I don't know why or how they find these guys. Carlos Pena, when he was here, had a horrible first half and then, you know, did decent in the second half. It's like, why can't they find anybody who starts out hot? And then, you know, and then if they get cold in the second half, we can sit them down and bring Rayburn up. I mean, we have half a team for one season and half a team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and second base. I'm not saying the second baseman. I'm saying anybody that plays that position, combine their stats. And we need a second baseman is what we need.
Well, you know, Santiago, I'll take Santiago. If you're going to give me, you know, if you want one guy, you know, I'll take him.
I will, too. I will, too.
For right now, anyway. It's funny looking at the standings, though. There's really one team in the American League that's any good right now, according to their record.
Texas.
Everybody else is 10-7, except for the Cleveland Indians, who are 9-6. But everyone else that's in, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, by the way, are leading the American League East with the Yankees, the Rays, and the Blue Jays, all at 10-7. Tigers are at 10-7. The White Sox are at 10-7. It's incredible. There's nobody separating themselves yet in the American League.
Yet, but indeed that will happen. I don't know. It's just a little frustrating. Again, you know, it's for a guy like me that goes to bed when the game is really just getting started or a couple innings into the game. You know, when you get up, you want to see some good news. And when you don't, it's like, oh, geez, okay. You know, I carve out a little time, as you know. I carve out a little sports time every morning. And when it's not there for me, well, it's just not there for me. Of course, we have the draft coming up and then OTAs after that. And so I can start focusing a little bit more on football. What did you think of the story that broke about, I guess it was day before yesterday, the general manager of New Orleans, spying on coaches during their communications during the games. I think there was somebody had called one of the sports stations in town and said, you know, I've had those headphones on and I don't understand half the stuff these coaches are saying to each other because they're all speaking in their own lingo. I guess if you don't understand a certain team's lingo, you're probably not going to figure out what they're talking about very well anyway.
Well, I wouldn't put it past the GM. A fan might not understand, but if you're involved in football operations, you probably will be able to pick it up. And fans can watch third base coach give the sign to the batter, and they have no idea what's going on. But baseball guys eventually figure that stuff out. So I think somebody in New Orleans really has ticked the league off. I think about how they're coming down on them for this bounty gate very hard, and they haven't let up. I mean, they're going in and making sure they're looking for anything. You know, maybe this isn't, who knows if this isn't even that big of a deal, if it's getting blown up even worse than what it is, but it's because something is going on where the league is just hammering the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, they're getting it pretty hard. You're right. I think that if you're in connected to the game, you're probably going to figure out what's going on. Listen, there was the whole Bill Belichick scandal a few years back, and do teams take advantage of information? Do they spy on each other? I think we'd be naive to not think they do these things. Seriously, Jeff, it doesn't surprise me that this stuff happens.
Well,
it doesn't even offend me, to be honest with you.
When Joe Mauer was stealing signs from second base playing the Tigers, people were all up in arms. And that's part of the game.
I was going to say, what would you expect them to do?
Using like a high-tech camera or, you know, some crazy technology to do it is completely different. But when he's standing on second and he's giving signals to the batter to let him know what the catcher's telling the pitcher, if you can do that fast enough, I'm all for it. I think you're right. You know, to a certain extent, if you're not trying to gain that advantage, then you're not trying to win.
Yeah, well, there's no question. Again, like I said,
A line to cross, though.
Well, there is a line, but and I think certainly with the football example we've been talking about this morning, that is crossing a line. You would have a certain advantage of being the home team of tapping into the communication system to hear what the other team's saying. That's, you know, there's a trust factor that gets broken there. That one I get. And I think you're right. I think that they just really pissed somebody off somewhere. And they're going to continue to pay for it over and over and over and over again. Have they said who's going to be coaching them yet for this upcoming season, New Orleans?
Yeah, it's I can't remember the guy. He's an assistant coach. But I think he even is sitting. He's got a 5-game suspension. So do they have to name a third one? I haven't really followed it. But I think it's an assistant coach that's going to step up for the year.
What did you think of the NFL's reaction to that? Do you think that it was too harsh? Because I kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, it just, it does seem, I know it, public reaction is what's driving this. So, for the majority of people who find out, wait a minute, a coach was offering money for players to hit other players harder and to cause injury, that's outstanding. But there's been incentives, whether you want to recognize them or not, to trying to hit harder. And by hitting harder, injuries happen. So, you know, when ESPN does Jacked Up on Monday Night Football or whatever, you know, it's a whole series of hits just getting harder and harder. And SportsCenter puts the hardest hits on there. Those are all incentives for you to go out and injure somebody. I think it's the same thing. And in fact, I think Anthony said it before, the money being offered by, you know, the bounties for certain players didn't even cover the fines that they would get if they did injure these people. So
All right. Well, you know, it is what it is. And I just think, yeah, I just thought it was a little too harsh, but oh well, they'll deal with it as they have to. And I don't know, they got problems. That whole organization has problems this year, just the way they treated their star quarterback.
Yeah, but don't put him out of this either. He's being investigated.
For what?
He might be. I heard this, and I don't know if they're still trying to investigate, but he might be a big part of the bounty gate.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Huh. I like Drew. I like Drew Brees a lot, but I don't know that he's, you know, Mr. Hands-Off Innocent either.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to watch that unfold. When we come back, we've got some audio to get to. Of course, your calls always welcome. 888-552-3595. Happy Wednesday morning to you. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break and be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We just picked up our first problem. It's on 96 westbound at Outer Drive. An accident is blocking the two center lanes, and that's causing slow traffic from Evergreen Road. With the traffic update, I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Bruce Felk, who is the spokesperson for Michigan Rising.
Call me crazy, but I'm hoping we can have 50,000 people show up in Lansing on May 5th. We're actually going to, we're inviting the other folks. We're calling it a democracy buffet. Any other groups that are circulating petitions for the November ballot are welcome to come and offer their petitions for signature to the citizens of Michigan also on that day.
A democracy buffet, I like that.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
What are these phantasmagoric money machines that they call private equity firms? They're much in the news now, with former private equity tycoon Mitt Romney running for president on the claim that because of his years in that business, he knows how to fix our economy. Sure enough, private equity whizzes are all about the fix. They operate by borrowing big piles of cash from rich speculators to buy out XYZ Corporation. Then, to pay the high interest rates on this debt and to siphon off a financial killing for themselves, the fixers do two things. They plunder XYZ's assets, selling off profitable chunks of the corporation, and they severely downsize the XYZ workforce, firing as many workers as possible and demanding deep wage cuts and benefit givebacks from the employees they keep. It's a redistribution of wealth scheme, transferring XYZ's revenues from its many workers to its few equity partners, while creating no new products or wealth. Nothing equitable about it. But the fix also includes a set of very special partners, few of whom are even aware that they're in on the deal. Taxpayers. The private equity business model is not structured on old-fashioned free enterprise, but on a skewed system of tax loopholes punched into federal law by these financiers, lobbyists, and the lawmakers they own. For example, they are able to load up on such heavy debt to finance their corporate takeovers only because all of the interest they must pay to the speculators for that borrowed money is tax-deductible. In other words, our government directly subsidizes private equity plundering by covering their huge interest payments. This is Jim Hightower saying, to add to their fun, many of these tax code scammers grab such big debt deductions that they pay zero corporate income taxes.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back to First Shift. It is First Shift. A pleasure to punch in with you this morning. Again, I mentioned earlier in this hour, I'll be mentioning it throughout the morning. This evening, I will be speaking at the Points for Peace meeting, which is going to be taking place at the Grosse Pointe Park Library, which is at 15175 East Jefferson in Grosse Pointe Park. The evening starts at 7 p.m., and I'm sure I will be speaking post-haste. Looking forward to that. We'll obviously take time for Q&A, and looking forward to going out there and meeting Sandy, who I've talked to quite a bit, who has been nice enough to send me some stuff when I was having trouble sleeping early on, sent me a program that I found to be quite helpful. Anyway, I'm looking forward to going out to Grosse Pointe Park this evening. If you're on the east side and would like to come say hello, feel free to do that. I was not able to confirm. At one point they had told me that Congressman Hanson Clark may be coming as well, but I've not heard from them. Whether or not they ever confirm that, that's neither here nor there. I will be there for sure this evening and looking forward to it. I'll be mentioning this as we work our way through the morning this morning. All right, as I said also a little earlier, Mitt Romney won all of the particular primaries that took place yesterday, as he should have. Will this mean the official end of Newt Gingrich? Well, it should, but whether it does or not, I don't know. Ron Paul's not going to walk away, as he doesn't every time. What he's going to do is go to the convention, have his 5 minutes of fame on national television, and walk away. God bless him. With all that said, again, Mitt Romney, his little victory speech last night, I happened to catch it all. We're not going to burden you with all of it, but here's a good 34 seconds of it anyway.
Thank you for that welcome. And thank you, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Thank you. And tonight I can also say thank you, America, because after 43 primaries and caucuses, many long days, and more than a few long nights, I can say with confidence and gratitude that you have given me a great honor and solemn responsibility. And together, we are going to win on November 6th.
All right, there we go. That's it. He went on to, by the way, lambaste the president, which is his job now. That's his job. His job is to speak ill of the country under the direction of Barack Obama. He doesn't really do it that well, but he does do it. And he did. So you take that for what it's worth. It's funny because one of the, and I mean funny, in the real ha-ha way. He talked about, during his little rah-rah speech to the crowd that was there, you know, that, he's gonna restore the pride in America. Technically Barack Obama did that after George Bush. What he did to this country as far as the rest of the world saw us, Mitt. I'm just saying. All right. Well, have you noticed that we announced last week very briefly that Mitt Romney has appointed somebody to start vetting vice presidential candidates? He's got to start thinking about who will be his running mate. And that's not an easy decision to make. And it might sound like it's a lot simpler than it is. You just go after the most sensational. You go after somebody that's diametrically different than you, that'll attract a different voter base. And, you know, there's all kinds of philosophies behind who the VP candidate is. But there is a vetting process. And there's always going to be rumors. You know, who will it be? Will it be this guy or this gal? So on and so forth. Well, you know, Mitt Romney's got his team working on it. In fact, his former chief of staff when he was governor of Massachusetts is head of his vetting committee for the VP slot. Well, John Stewart decided to take a look at who might that person be. And what he found was, well, maybe it's not who Mitt Romney wants it to be, but maybe it's going to actually be somebody that wants it. I'll let you figure it out. Listen to this.
So attention moves now to who will complete the bumper sticker that will soon be plastered on America's gun racks. Over the fading McCain-Palin bumper sticker. Obviously, the vice presidential nomination, an enormous honor. Politicians are clamoring to...
If he asked you to be vice president...
I would say no.
That is an absolute no.
I'd say thank you, but no.
All right, that's fine. And one person, Nikki Haley, she's the city governor. But what about Pawlenty? Two terms, former Minnesota governor. He's not doing anything.
The answer is I'm not going to be considering that, and I've taken myself off the list.
Okay, all right, that's fine. You don't need to be on the list. You know what? They don't want you. They'll go old school.
How many ways can I say it? Not me.
You could say it, not me. Not me. I'm not going to do it. A lot of ways you can get out of it. You could say, I don't know, I support a woman's right to choose. That'll get you out of it. Look, denying interest in being... I thought somebody cool just walked out. Look, denying interest in being the vice president is pro forma in politics. Everybody does it. But the tone that these folks are using, not me. I'm taking myself off the list? Come on, Pawlenty. That's what you tell a telemarketer who calls you during dinner. If you're going to pass on the job, at least recommend someone else to fill it.
You've got a lot of really talented people and out there that Mitt Romney's going to get to pick from. And I think a lot of them, you know, Senator Rob Portman, would be phenomenal choices for vice president.
See, that does it. That's all right. Marco Rubio says Rob Portman's your guy. I don't know who that is. Well, let's see what he has to say about it.
Romney Portman. Does that have a ring to it?
I think Rubio's got a better ring.
Why does being Romney's vice president now seem like a dare nobody wants to take? Eat a plate of my own. No. You eat it. Here comes the peer pressure.
I think Marco would be among many great candidates for vice president. I think Marco's probably the best.
Rubio passes to Portman. Portman passes back to Rubio. Bush also passes back to Rubio. Rubio in the lane. He's driving. He's standing next to the basket. And?
That's very nice of Jeb. I hope he'll say yes. If future President Romney asks him. I think he'd be a fantastic vice president.
Passes back to Bush! Doesn't anybody want the Rock in crunch time?
If your cell phone rang, because Mitt Romney's got your number, and he said, Herman, I need your help.
I would say, let's talk.
Herman Payne! With the alley-oop! Slam dunk!
It's not a slam dunk.
You gotta love Jon Stewart. You just gotta love this guy. It's just, that was just too funny. You know, let's for a moment consider this whole vice presidency thing. Jeff, just for a moment, imagine that you were offered a job that doesn't really have a lot of responsibility. It's not really defined. You don't have to necessarily do it the way the last person that did the job did it or anybody else that did the job did it. You really have flexibility to kind of create the job as whatever you want it to be. But with that said, you got to get the permission of your boss to do it. So if you do want to do it a certain way, your boss kind of has to agree to it because you can't grandstand who your boss is. So that gets to be a little bit weird. And, of course, there are a lot of egos involved there. So you end up with this, you end up with this job, that, you know, doesn't really have a defined purpose, except if your boss was to somehow become incapacitated or die and not be able to do his job, then you become the most powerful person in the world. What a weird juxtaposition, don't you think?
Now that you put it that way, yeah.
There's no other job incentive in the world that is like that. I mean, there's no definition for it. There's really no responsibility to being the vice president. Oh, sure. I mean, there are some, you know, ceremonial things, and they preside over this, and I get that.
What about Rupert Murdoch's son?
As a VP candidate?
No, what? No, his job or his life is basically he's a vice president. He only benefits when you know the head guy dies.
He has no responsibility. He just resigned from his job though.
Well, yeah, he resigned from it, but I mean, he's going to benefit when his dad moves on.
Passes on.
Right.
Okay, moves on. I like the way you put that.
I wanted to be nice and kind about it.
Well, but it is what it is. He just quit, though. I find that interesting. He quit. And he quit for a variety of reasons that we're not going to. Just think about that job, though. I mean, you know, would you really want that job? You know, well, some people want that job because it might lead to you getting your boss's job without your boss having to die or be incapacitated. And that's, of course, you could, after serving for 8 years, run for that job and win it yourself. But that hasn't really been a terribly successful strategy.
But what if you're the vice president pick for a candidate that loses?
Well, then you you could do the Sarah Palin thing. You could quit your job that you had, which was as governor of a state, and then get rich off of really ignorant people that didn't know any better. I mean, that's one of the benefits, I guess.
Rubio's doing that already, though.
You're right. Dawson, you told me he has a book coming out, right?
I do believe so.
Yeah, and I think that you and I had speculated that they're rushing it to press so he can pay down some of the substantial debt he has in case he is chosen as the vice presidential nominee. Or Jeff, wouldn't it be interesting if we find out that all of the debt that he had kind of just disappeared over the last year?
Yeah, real interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Follow the money. All right, we'll come back. You want to be vice president? Give me a call. I'm sure Mitt Romney would be happy to consider anybody at this point. 888-552-3595. We take the break. More to get to on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trigano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers, George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, the MichiganSummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
All right, very quick, a couple things I want to get to before we get out of here in this hour. The first one, very, very, very brief. President Obama was on with Jimmy Fallon last night, and you know, Jimmy Fallon asked him, a big night for Mitt Romney, if he knew the Republican, presumed Republican nominee for the presidency. And this is what the President of the United States had to say.
Of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Do you know Mitt Romney?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
You got to love that. I just love that. No, they're not friends, and I don't think they're going to be friends, and I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm going to be one of the people that's going to be working against Mitt Romney to get the president reelected, if you haven't figured that out by now. I'm excited about that. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that tonight, amongst many things. But I will be talking about reelecting Barack Obama. I'm proud of what the president's accomplished, given the asshats he's had to work with in Congress, especially in the House. With that said, let us turn our attention to a story that we kind of got to yesterday. Well, not kind of, we did get to yesterday. And I said, Jeffrey, what's the big deal with Judge McCreary? So he took a picture with his shirt off. We didn't see anything that we haven't seen or couldn't see pretty much anywhere. So there's a little bit of an uproar. In fact, as the day went on yesterday, this became it became the talk of the internet in many circles, especially on the news websites.
Well, you know, opinions really split. There are a lot of people who say this was completely inappropriate. He shouldn't have done it, but. Issues for the judge.
Hot dog. Yep, that's me. No shame in my game.
Here comes the judge, and this is not how you expect to see him. Circuit Court Judge Wade McCree posing in a bathroom in his birthday suit. McCree sent the picture to his bailiff and her husband, found it in her cell phone. From the moment Fox 2's Charlie LaDuff broke the story, it's gone viral. News outlets all over the world are picking it up, and the story's exploding on Facebook, and opinions pretty split. Opinion out on the streets isn't much different.
You're sending off a sexual vibe.
It doesn't look that bad to me. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it.
He's a judge. He's a judge. No. No. Not appropriate at all.
Just some random guy did it. Would you have an issue with it?
I guess not, but when you're an elected official and a public servant at that, too, you kind of have to keep a different standard of things that you do.
Is he in the bathroom?
Yeah, he's just saying he has no shirt on.
Oh, no shirt. Why?
So is this pic out of order? We took that question to Robert Palmer, an employment law and civil rights attorney who's handled cases where bosses have sent inappropriate and unwanted photos to employees.
Commonsensically, it doesn't make sense to do that kind of to send that kind of a picture in the workplace.
But let's face it, shots like this are plastered all over Facebook and sometimes they're texted. So what makes Judge McCree's pic any different?
He's not a 16-year-old on Facebook. He's a judge who makes decisions that involve people from day to day. So what people think of him is more important than what people think of somebody who's a skateboarder in a skate park.
And as a judge, he's held to a higher code of conduct than the average citizen. And Attorney Palmer says this pic isn't the only thing that could get him in trouble.
He apparently doesn't seem to think there's anything at all inappropriate about it. It impacts the whole judicial bench, because they're all going to have to be answering about, did you see what your colleague did? So the impact of this is very widespread.
Now, the bailiff's husband is expected to file a complaint with the Judicial Tenure Commission, and there are a lot of things that can happen. That the judge could end up just getting a letter saying, hey, don't do this again, you made a bad move, or he could lose his job. Live in downtown Detroit, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
Well, it would certainly be a huge overreaction if he lost his job over this, in my opinion. Does he... showing distaste? I don't even know if I want to go in that direction, although I can understand that from an ethical standpoint, where some might have an issue with that. This is a judge, is my understanding, after doing some reading on this yesterday, that often in his courtroom preaches self-righteousness, he preaches self-respect, he preaches responsibility, and so it begs the question, is he practicing what he preaches? And I think that that's kind of going to be up to each individual to decide. Now, if it is found that he inappropriately is sending his half-nude picture of himself to married women, or any women, being that he's a married man, without them asking for it, and again, I'm not even going to begin to tell you how you ask for somebody's half-naked picture, but I'm sure it happens. If we find out that he's been doing this inappropriately, then perhaps he should be removed. There's no question that that's something that needs to be looked at. But I'm not surprised. I am truly not surprised that the reaction has been split, because this is not some this is not something that's easily assessed. And
so what if you found, actually you didn't find, what if your wife brought to you her phone and said, well, look what my boss just sent me?
I'm not defending what he did. I just don't.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Listen, if my wife came to me and first of all, I've met both her bosses, so that would be kind of funny if they did that, but I understand your point. So I'll answer your point. I would not be happy. In fact, I would be on the phone with them as quickly as I could possibly be. Saying,
well, see, now that's a good point, though. If you know them, if you know her bosses, you know.
Yes, I've met her boss.
Your immediate reaction was, well, it'd be funny because you know their personality and perhaps their build, I guess. But
yeah, that's really what I was referring to.
Now, if it was Judge McCree and Hot Dog, and he sent his, you know, he seems pretty cocky about himself. He likes to see himself.
He has a nice physique. There's
no,
no,
he knows it, and
yes,
he knows it.
That's right.
So I guess it does. It almost depends. Like, you know, you can't really. I mean, you can because he's a judge, maybe, but you can't just, you know, label it. Okay, then this is how I'm going to treat it every single time. You have to know that you have to take the person's, you know, your relationship with them into account.
Well, yes. Well, and as Judge McCree said, there is no shame in his game. that's what he said. I'm just quoting him.
And Hot Dog. I love both of those sayings.
The audio that we played yesterday was a lot of him. A lot of him just commenting on the situation. And he basically was acting like, hey, you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. But you do bring up a good point. If this was my wife and she were to come home and her boss, who, let's say her boss had a nice physique like that, the first words out of my mouth would be, why did he send this to you? Did you ask for this? Is there something going on I need to know about? And once I got those questions answered, I would say, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to call your boss tomorrow and I'm going to say something. This was inappropriate. That's where I would come from. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, in the next hour, Congressman Gary Peters will join us. Julie Fisher Cummings will be with us. And Occupy Detroit from the GE shareholders protest. That's right. We'll be live downtown. So you're going to want to stay with us. We got a lot to get to as we work our way through this morning. It's always a pleasure to serve you here on First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. Let's take a break for the top of the hour, and we'll come back and continue right here on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We got a couple of problems you need to look out for. First, on 96 westbound, just after Outer Drive, your right two lanes are blocked by an accident causing stop-and-go traffic from Evergreen. And on 94 westbound, as you approach the lodge, several disabled vehicles are on the right shoulder. They have flat tires. That was caused by a hauler that lost its load. And that's causing slow traffic from 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com.
NBC News Radio, First Shift
with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays, 6 to 9, right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News,
all of you. I have a simple message. Hold on a little longer. A better America begins tonight.
With Rick Santorum out of the race, the focus is shifting to the Veep stakes. Who will be Romney's running mate? Opponents of Arizona's immigration enforcement law held a vigil at the state capitol in Phoenix yesterday. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments over the law's constitutionality. The world's most valuable company keeps rolling. Apple posting an $11.6 billion profit last quarter, selling 35 million iPhones. And the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas appears to be living up to its name. For the second time in as many months, a patron had to be rushed to the hospital with an apparent heart attack. The grill, famous for its high-calorie, high-fat meals, goes by the slogan, "A burger to die for." This is NBC News Radio. The Justice Department has filed the first criminal charges related to the 2010 Gulf oil spill. A former BP engineer accused of destroying text messages related to the investigation. 30-year-old Kurt Mix charged with two counts of obstruction of justice. Testimony continues at the trial of John Edwards, the former presidential candidate accused of knowing about secret payments made to his mistress during the 2008 campaign. NBC's Lisa Myers.
This was the government's day. Through their star witness, prosecutors detailed Edwards' affair, the hunt for money to keep his mistress quiet, and claimed the former presidential candidate was deeply involved every step of the way.
Edwards says he never broke campaign finance laws. And no question, they get around. The Beach Boys are back, reuniting to celebrate 50 years of surf and hit records, opening their reunion tour last night in Tucson. Surviving original members Brian Wilson, Mike Love, and Al Jardine feeling those good vibrations one more time. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
This is my parents' Mercedes M-Class, but it won't always be, if you know what I mean.
When you own a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, chances are they'll own it one day too. Because a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is 100% through and through a Mercedes-Benz. And right now, during our certified pre-owned sales event, you can get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models. Every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high. Plus, a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio.
I can't wait to drive this.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-4-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned, limited warranty, and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations. Not all customers are qualified for advertised APR and are subject to prior credit approval.
Real estate website Zillow says it looks for home prices to finally bottom out this year in a majority of the markets it follows. 19 out of 30 markets in Zillow's monthly report are expected to hit a bottom in terms of prices. This prediction follows a couple of home price reports that came out yesterday. Now, according to Zillow's own survey, overall, U.S. home values rose 0.5% in March compared with February. That's the largest monthly increase Zillow has seen since May of 2006. Apple, doubling its profits in the last quarter as it sold 35 million iPhones, is helping to boost U.S. stock futures, especially the NASDAQ futures, which are higher now by about 50 points, almost 2%. S&P futures gaining 9 points and Dow futures in the plus column by 66. Much of Apple's success was due to demand in China, and analysts say right now Apple stores are only open in first-tier China cities, so there's a lot of room to expand there. Oil prices, they're up $0.5, $104.05 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hi,
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure, they're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. Fiona, according to the signs, Ford is having some sort of a big tire event. I just want to confirm a few things. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event.
They're big.
Okay. What about the selection? Put that in your own words for me.
Big.
I see. In terms of rebates, how would you really sum the whole...
They're big, Mike. Big.
Sensing a pattern.
Ford will beat any competitor's advertised price on name brands with the low-price tire guarantee. Plus, get a $100 rebate when you buy four Goodyear, Continental, Pirelli, Hankook, Dunlop, or Yokohama tires. Now, that's a pretty big deal.
So I think we can agree, then, that Ford's tire event is good-sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
That's a great answer. I had no idea you were going to go there.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. $100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 5/31/12.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
Absolutely a pleasure to be with you. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 25th day of April, 2012, as promised, an amazing hour. But I want to start a little bit of an unusual way. I normally don't start with audio, but the president's been, the last few days have been traveling to college campuses around the country addressing a critical issue. Just 60 seconds of his speech that he gave yesterday.
You'll hear a lot of folks say, yeah, education's important. It's important. But it requires not just words, but deeds. And the fact is that since most of you were born, tuition and fees at America's colleges have more than doubled. And that forces students like you to take out a lot more loans, there are fewer grants, you rack up more debt. Can I get an amen? Amen. The average student who borrows to pay for college now graduates with about $25,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. Some are more. Can I get an amen for that? Yeah, I know. It's because some folks have more debt than that.
Amen! All right, there you go. That's just, by the way, the tip of the iceberg. There's something about to happen that if smart people don't do the right thing, these loans that we're talking about, the interest rates on these loans that we're talking about will go from 3.4% to 6.8%. I'm happy to tell you that there are some clear, visionary, leadership-type people that serve in Congress. One of them is my next guest. Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course, is running in the new 14th district. A great article in the Detroit News this morning, which we'll ask him about here in a few minutes. But he is co-sponsoring House Resolutions 3826, which will hopefully be an answer to a question that needs to be answered. And that question, Congressman Peters, is how can we do this to a generation of people that aren't even out of school yet?
Well, you're right, Tony. It does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stanford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now, and it certainly places a burden, an additional burden on our students who are moving to get ahead in life, are going to college, doing what folks should do, and working hard, but they need to take a loan. Most middle-income families that can't afford just to pay for college, it's too expensive. You've got to take on debt, and you should not be paying an interest rate much higher than any other major interest rate.
The mainstream media has really attached itself to this idea that we need to do what is clearly the right thing. In a letter that Huffington Post got a copy of that you had sent to all of your colleagues in the House, both Democrats and Republicans, you had used a word that I think that clearly defines what this is, unconscionable, that it is unconscionable that we would do this to young people. I couldn't agree more, Congressman Peters. I have to ask the obvious question. What kind of support are you getting for this House Resolution 3826?
Well, we are working hard to get co-sponsors to have them working closely with Joe Courtney. The two of us have been working very hard to get additional people to sign on. I think right now we are at 139 co-sponsors, so the number is growing. The unfortunate thing is we have not been able to get one Republican. Republicans have not signed on to this bill. This should not be a partisan issue. This should be about making sure that our next generation of folks are able to get the education they need to be successful, and they should be paying an interest rate that makes sense in the current interest rate environment, but not one Republican in the House of Representatives has signed on at this point.
Well, again, ask another obvious question. Why would I agree this should be nonpartisan, Congressman Peters. There's no question that I support that idea. Why would they not sign on to this? What would be the justification for saying no to making sure that that the young people just pay less in interest? That's all we're talking about here. That's the entire issue.
Well, it's beyond me, Tony, but we have one representative, Virginia Fox. She's the chair of the subcommittee on higher education. I believe she was recently quoted as saying that she has very little tolerance for people who have student loans, that they should work their way through college like she did, and if they take loans, then they're on their own for that. It just shows, and this is the Republican who's chair of the subcommittee on higher education, it shows that she's completely out of touch with the real world as to where it is today, where most people do need to take loans out to get an education. But if you're out of touch with reality, it's hard to get people to understand that this is something that's important for people who are going back, either going back to school to get an education or starting out early and getting an education.
Well, you know, Congressman Peters
is out of touch.
Absolutely. Talk about being out of touch. We also know that the same young people that are taking out these loans that are graduating, as they will be here in a few weeks, as they're graduating from college, some of them 4, 5, 6 years to get that degree, they will find themselves without opportunities to find a good living wage job. So, yeah, this is unrealistic, and it is unconscionable that they wouldn't support something that says, let's slow this down a little bit. Let's not make this as burdensome on these young people as it is right now. I do find that unconscionable.
No question about it. It's tough for young people to get jobs as the market is starting to recover. We're starting to see the economy recover, but we still have a long ways to go. Plus, it makes it even more difficult for an economy to grow if people are saddled with more debt with the college education. But they also learn now that if you see a doubling of their interest rates, their payments go up as a result of a doubling of the interest rates. And then they have less money to do other things, which is important, particularly for a young person starting out, which is buying a car and maybe buying a house if you're a young family, you know, things that help the economy. Students or young people are not going to be able to do because they're saddled with even higher payments for their for the debts that they incurred to get the education that they need in order to move forward.
Well, you know, again, as I continue to look what is, you know, again, I've got three college-age children. Unfortunately, one of them has a GI Bill. Thank God for that, because I can't fathom that I would be able to put all three of them through college at this point. I really don't make that much money, in spite of what some of these folks might think, Congressman. And I'm not alone. Listen, there are a lot of families that would like to make sure they're all of their kids go to school. It's for the first time, I just read this last week, ironically, for the first time in the history of our great nation, more grandparents are sending their grandchildren to college than ever in the history of this country. You know, what does that say about where we're at as a country, where our mindset, where our priorities are at? And my God, Congressman, I know how hard that you have worked. I know how hard that, you know, you have tried to clear a path to some kind of sanity as it relates to higher education, but we need to change the system. We need to change it now.
No question. We have to focus also on making sure that it's affordable, college is affordable. My goal would be that you don't have to take all of this in debt and loans in order to get that education. We need to step up to make sure that folks have access to Pell Grants and other types of grants that help them pay for college and not just be saddled with a large amount of debt when they get out that they'll be paying for years and years and years. Our focus has to be lowering the price of college education so that, which is basic to the American dream, that middle class families can, and working families know that they can send their kids to college and it's affordable for their kids. If their kids choose that route, that they're able to do that and it's affordable, you should be able to go. If you have the ability and the drive and the motivation to do it, you should have every opportunity to get that kind of education. It's good for the country. It makes our country stronger. We're in a very competitive world. We're competing with a lot of other countries that are sending their young people and getting higher education. If we don't do that, we'll continue to be at a disadvantage to them.
This should just matter very, very briefly, because we're just about out of time. Congressman, first of all, great article in the Detroit News today, speaking to the glory of your campaign. I know that you don't want to campaign this morning. I'm not asking you to do that. Just want to congratulate you on what was foundationally a great piece on how well organized you are and how you've garnered the support of labor. Of course, I'm on your mailing list. I see what's happening. But what I learned in that article this morning is you and I actually share an important distinction. Speaking of college, we are both graduates of Elma College.
Graduates of Elma?
Yes, I did. 1984.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's great. That is fabulous. Yeah, I don't run into a whole lot of Elma College alums, so it is nice to hear that.
Yeah, no, a very, very important part of my foundation, Dr. Oscar Remick, who was the president that succeeded Swanee, Bob Swanson, was a critical mentor to me as I worked my way through Elma. We'll have to have that conversation privately sometime, but I was thrilled to see that you are a graduate of Elma College. So my best to you. Anything, of course, we can do to help with this or any other issue, Congressman, you know we're there for you.
Well, thank you, Tony. Always a pleasure to be with you.
You bet. Congressman Gary Peters. A quick break here. We're going to be open lines on the other side. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We got a couple of problems you need to look out for. First, on 96 westbound, just after Outer Drive, your right two lanes are blocked by an accident causing stop-and-go traffic from Evergreen. And on 94 westbound, as you approach the lodge, several disabled vehicles are on the right shoulder. They have flat tires. That was caused by a hauler that lost its load. And that's causing slow traffic from 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner,
will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th,
and your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack
and reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock and a good morning to you, First Shift crew. Appreciate you being with us. Again, my thanks to Congressman Gary Peters. This idea that we just can expect people to afford college because they want it is a silly idea. This idea that because I had to suffer through it means you do too is it's a uniquely a Republican idea, just because that's the way I did it. That's the way you should do it. I survived it. You should be fine to do it that way. Really? Really? Is that what we want? Could you all do me a favor? Call your member of Congress today, especially your Republican members of Congress, and tell them to sign on as a co-sponsor to H.R. 3826. That's H.R. 3826. All it does is bring down the interest rate on student loans. It doesn't give away anything. It's crazy that we would even be having this discussion. All right. Yesterday afternoon, I had a private conversation with Bruce Felk, who attended a Rotary Club luncheon in Wyandotte yesterday with the former Pontiac emergency financial manager, Michael Stampler. And, well, Bruce also sent me some audio. Unfortunately, I was at a meeting until late, and I didn't have a chance to listen to it. But I did ask Bruce to call in this morning because we had a really interesting conversation that I kind of wanted to have on air. So, Bruce, thanks for punching in with us this morning. I appreciate you taking the time to call.
Well, I'm glad we could be on for a few minutes.
Yeah, a bizarre exchange yesterday, right?
Wow, I went, you know, the Wyandotte Rotary had billed the speech as something where Mr. Stanford was going to be speaking out against the emergency manager situation, and he didn't think it was a good idea. But when I went, he does think it's a bad idea, that's true, but for different reasons than I thought. He thinks the emergency manager law just needs to be tweaked. There needs to be, he had a very strong talking points about civic capital and capital improvement, capital structure or something like that. I forget the exact words he used, but he didn't explain exactly what those were. But what I took away from it was that he thinks that groups like the Rotary Club and Chambers of Commerce, he seems to be saying that they ought to have some role in budgeting for cities that are in financial distress. And even though they're not obviously elected, he has no problem, apparently, with getting rid of elected officials through the emergency manager legislation, because he seems to think there's a lot of corruption going on, and that's the reason why these cities are in trouble. So he seems to have no problem getting rid of these people, or at least running them powerless anyway.
Yeah, pretty bizarre stuff. There's no question about that. When you called and told me that, of course, you know how I reacted, because I kept on saying, are you serious? Did he really say that? And you said, of course, your jaw hit the ground when he was doing this. Now, interestingly, they did give you guys some press availability. You were there under the guise of the Rochester Citizen. Of course, you wear another hat as the spokesperson for Michigan Rising, but those are very two different responsibilities. So I want to make sure that I separate them for my audience's sake, Bruce. With that said, you also shared with me that Rachel Maddow had a crew there.
Yeah, well, she's been following the story very closely, and she mentioned the appearance. In fact, that's how I found out about it, was watching her show that Stanford was going to be at the Rotary. And so she sent a crew, and I think they're planning on doing a story on tonight's show, so let's watch.
No, we'll pay attention to it. In the meantime, I will listen to the audio again. I had a meeting yesterday, and by the time I got back last night, and then I didn't have time this morning, I will check it out later and post some of it to Facebook. By the way, Bruce, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, buddy. He did post something to our Facebook page, so if you want to go over there and check that out, feel free to do it. Bruce does a great job as a journalist, and all biases aside, he does a great job as a journalist. We appreciate him checking in with us this morning. 888-552-3595. Amir in Detroit joins us now. My brother, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Tony? Virginia Fox, the Republican subcommittee chair for higher education, you know, the statement she made. You know, I want congressmen to do this. Make college rates the same as they were in the 1960s. How about that? And then you can watch somebody as a waitress who's making $2 an hour, maybe getting $100 a week. She can afford college then, because a lot of the colleges in those days were free.
Absolutely.
Oh, excuse me. They were paid through tax dollars. And people I work for a living, just like most of us, we pay our tax dollars. If we did eliminate all the educational debt that students have, they still are paying for it, because they're going to pay for it through their taxes. So there's nothing in this world free. Freedom ain't free. Ain't no free market. So people, wise up and use your brain.
One of the many reasons I love you, Amir, is you always say it as it is. And you're 100% right. Nothing's free. I appreciate the call. Nothing is free. Folks, this idea that we shouldn't all have access to college. College is something that, I don't care how old you are, it's drilled into you that you need to go get a college education. But, you know, you're never told along the way that when it's time for you to go grab that, it'll be unavailable to you, not because you don't have the grades for it, not because you don't have the opportunity, because you will. No, you won't be able to afford it. You won't be able, your parents won't be able to afford it. Your grandparents won't be able to afford it. Oh, well, right? You know, I had somebody post on the Facebook page a couple weeks ago. Tough crap. You can't afford college? Tough crap. Go out and find yourself a freaking job. College isn't for everyone, folks. So if you can't afford it, tough. Of course, that's from somebody that has a college education that their mommy and daddy paid for, because we had a little exchange. We had a little exchange privately, you know, where I got the real information. I could embarrass the living hell out of them. I didn't do it. Because as I asked some carefully probing questions, you know, I found out the truth. But again, it just goes back to this idea that as long as I'm okay, doesn't really matter what the rest of the world has to deal with. 888-552-3595. Stephen Monroe's on the other end of my line. Steve, good to talk to you again. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony.
Morning.
I think our conversation should be around the root cause of why college is so expensive and why it keeps on going up at whatever 7 or 9% click every year, going up in cost. You know, I mean, you can throw interest rates in the mix there, but ultimately, why is college so expensive?
Now you tell me why you think it's so expensive, Steve. I know why it's so expensive.
I think we've got legacy costs. I think, to be honest with you, I think these professors are overcompensated. You know, they work 14 hours a week. Tony, I just look, the truth just hurts, I guess.
The truth doesn't hurt it because you're not, well, you know what? Your truth hurts. But, Steve, I don't think that you and I are going to agree on this issue. The reason the cost, and thanks for the call, the reason the cost of college is gone up has absolutely nothing to do with legacy costs. It has nothing to do with retirements and all that stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that we decided as a country, as politicians decided as a country, to stop funding college, placing that burden on the family. Well, the states could no longer afford it, and so the colleges, of course, placed that burden on the family. That has nothing to do with legacy costs. That has nothing to do with somebody's pension or how many hours a week they work. The truth doesn't hurt. Well, the recent truth does because it hurts me. It kills me, actually, that people can't go to college that deserve it. More on this when we continue. Stay with us. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We got a couple of problems you need to look out for. First on 96 westbound, just after Outer Drive. Your right two lanes are blocked by an accident causing stop-and-go traffic from Evergreen. And on 94 westbound, as you approach the lodge, several disabled vehicles are on the right shoulder. They have flat tires. That was caused by a hauler that lost its load. And that's causing slow traffic from 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made. And that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Workplace equality made a giant leap on Monday when the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruled that discriminating based on gender identity is a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The EEOC made the ruling in response to a complaint filed on behalf of Mia Macy, who was allegedly told she qualified for the job when she applied as a man. But when it was revealed, she was in the process of a gender transition. She was told funding for the position had been cut. It was later revealed to Macy that someone else had been given that position. Specifically, the commission ruled that discrimination based on gender identity is a violation of Title VII in the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits intentional discrimination based on gender, race, color, religion, or national origin. The decision was the first time in history that the commission had ruled that Title VII extends to transgendered workers.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony Trupiano.
Or call us now.
1-888-552-3595.
Now back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after the hour. Listen, very quickly. Colleges have endowments and their foundations and grants. There are lots of different ways that education gets funded. Scholarships. Anybody that's an alumnus of any college understands they're asking you for money all the time, right? We get that. But this idea that colleges don't fund appropriately for great colleges attract the best and brightest educators in the world, in the country, in the world, because they pay them appropriately, because they have collective bargaining agreements. I mean, there's a reason why all this happens. The cost of education, or I should say the increase in cost of education, is as a direct result of both the federal and the state governments shirking their responsibility. That's a legacy to the system. By the way, do you feel education is a right or a privilege in general, both at the K-12 level and higher ed? Do you think it's a right or a privilege? 888-552-3595. Vince in Detroit joins us now. Vince, thanks for waiting on hold. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to voice.
My pleasure.
I'm becoming an extinct breed. I'm a vocational instructor in a high school. And, back when I was in high school, back in the 80s, if you weren't on a college track, your parents couldn't afford college, you weren't ready for college, whatever the deal was, you got yourself into a manufacturing program, you got yourself into a welding program, you got yourself into an automotive tech program, and you learned a trade. And like so many other students like myself who were not stellar, outstanding academics, we, living in the Detroit area, Dearborn area, who had an opportunity to make pretty good money working for Ford on the assembly line. A lot of us opted to go into the vocations. We learned a trade. We made good money. And when that dried up, we went back to college because we had a union that helped contribute towards our further education. And now, basically, we're in a situation in this country where I'm seeing both of those things being kicked out from underneath young people today, where our educational system is collapsing. The vocational training that we once used to have, which was strong, particularly in this region, is now just little by little being picked away, and all of those kids are being told, if you want job training, if you want career training, go to the college and get it and pay for it yourself. And finally, as you know, unions are just, we do not have the level of participation we can by our unions to be able to send a lot of the rank and file to get educated so that when they are ready to move on to the next step of their life, they can't, they have to really struggle to do it. And I just wanted to say and let everybody know that when you tell young students that they can't afford to go to college, that the money's not there, that nobody's going to help them pay for it, and you don't hold out an alternative in our public schools, a vocational program, a career technical program, you know, what's left? What is left?
Well, Vince, you know, and Vince, we need to add one more piece to that, Vince, and that is, oh, and by the way, there are no longer any good entry-level jobs in this country.
That's correct. And I mean, when we talk about this new high-skilled, high-tech economy, my question is, those jobs are out there, but where are the people? Because we're not training them anymore. They're just not there.
Well, Vince, Vincent, thank you so much. Obviously, you have a great deal of passion for what you do, and I appreciate that. You are obviously articulate and bright and care a great deal about not only your students, but about the process of education. I can feel that in your voice, not just hear it, I can feel it in your voice. Vince had so many critical things to say about what was and what is. Will that be lost on some of you? I fear that the answer to that question is yes. Sadly, yes. Vince, thank you so much. 888-552-3595. Brooks in Novi joins us now. Good morning, Brooks. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Hey, I want to congratulate you on the courage of the surgical procedure that you went through. I hope everything is going well.
Thank you. Yes, going really well. I've lost as of Monday, I've lost 27 pounds and feel like I'm on the right track. I can tell you one thing: I don't have clothes that fit me already, so I got to figure that one out. But anyway, thank you so much. Thank you.
Congratulations on that. I share all of Vince's concerns. I'm a contractor, and I have found my experience that the young people are just not coming into the trades, and it doesn't matter what trades they are. You just can't find good work ethic and young people that have any desire or demonstrate much passion for the trades. And the only thing that will be left after this all collapses is revolution. That's the cycle. That's the cycle that history has demonstrated for us. But the purpose of my call, Tony, I'm a listener, and I hear you always talking about fairness. You know, fair this, fair that. Everything's going to be fair. We're working to make it fair. And obviously that's a noble cause. But I'm curious. Your parents raised you and taught you that life is fair, and you're teaching that to your kids too. I'm shocked.
No, I'm not. No. Let's be careful here, Brooks. Life is the last thing. Life is fair. And one of my children is sitting in the studio next to me, and he'll be the first one to tell you that I've kind of lived a life that kind of demonstrates that life is not fair. You had used a phrase that I love, and I'm gonna get to this whole thing, and don't go anywhere, Brooks. Don't go anywhere. I want to have this conversation with you. Work ethic. Let's start with that. You want to talk about something that one generation hasn't taught the next? That's work ethic. You know, and that's on my generation. My generation has done a horrible job of empowering the next generation to what work ethic means. And we can have a different conversation about that some other time. With regard to fairness, though, no, I want fairness in opportunity, in access to opportunity. I want any kid that wants to be able to go to college to have a fair opportunity to do that. Now, listen, not every kid that wants to go to college has always gone to college. I get that. But I also understand, Brooks, that we now live in a world that seems to punish much more than it rewards. We live really in a society that is, you just said it, we're not preparing the next generation any longer for the needs of society. If we can't get people passionate about being an electrician or being a plumber or being a carpenter, what kind of service are we providing?
Well, all I can tell you, if there's any young people listening out there, the trade industries is an outstanding avenue for a light career. It's very rewarding, very self-esteem building. And if you're good, if you're one of the best at what you do, and it doesn't matter what trade it is,
you're almost assured to be insulated from economic ups and downs because the best always work because there's never an end for the need to maintaining things.
All right, Brooks, thank you so much for the call. He said it perfectly. I don't want to touch what he just said. That's perfect. I will say this. We'll go back to the conversation we had on the show Monday about electrical workers and the apprenticeship program, that one-to-one thing. Now, we can have the other discussion some other time, but listen, at the end of the day, the bottom line here, at the end of the day, think about this a minute. If you're a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, you are in the apprenticeship program, you're working with a journeyman electrician. And we heard what Tom Bowe said on Monday, didn't we? We heard it loud and clear. Even in this economy, electricians have been able to find work, if not in Detroit, anywhere in the country. Why? Because they understand, because the industry understands that coming out of Michigan as a tradesman gives you something that others don't have. Think about that. Brooks was so right. So very right. All right, very quick before we have to get to the break here, let's welcome my good friend Doris in Flint. Doris, I haven't talked to you in a while. Hope you're well.
No, I've been following you, though, and you're doing great. I'm glad to hear it. Hey, I wanted to just say one of the things about not having an education or having the skilled, you know, skilled trades training. We haven't talked about the role of the military. The Republicans want to keep increasing the cost that we put into the military and stopping any reductions because of their, our military actions. And there is a role for the military, but many people think that we do too much and get into many other people's business and countries and so on. But when people get out of school and they don't have any options, they're more likely, I think, to consider the military as a foot soldier, as and end up as fodder for a lot of the campaigns many people would not agree with because they don't have any choices. It's different than wanting to do this or whatever, or feeling you have no other choice. I know some people who have gone into the military because they didn't see any other options, and that is not what they particularly wanted to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Doris, that you bring this up because especially during the most recent Gulf War, one of the challenges that we have, and the only reason I know that I've been on radio, I've had this connection to people where they tell me my son or my daughter went into the military, and the reason that they did that is because they couldn't find a job or they weren't ready for college, whatever. And so they were promised job A by the military, and they didn't end up doing that. As Doris said, they become foot soldiers. They get put in harm's way, and that's not why they signed up. By the way, they had contracts. Contracts that promised them a career they never got. That's a lie, folks. And any way you want to cut it, it's a lie. We got to take the break here. Doris, thanks for the call. Occupy Detroit on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, if you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.com. OFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people skills and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And good morning and welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. That only means one thing. It is time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Actually, I need to tweak that a little bit. This is really about the 99% spring. And if I've not made the differentiation before, and I know I have, they are not the same movement. So I do want to make that clear. Joining us now, as they are readying themselves both at Grand Circus Park and at Hard Plaza, is our good friend Ryan Bates. Ryan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Great. It was wonderful to meet you a week ago Sunday. We had, of course, you'd been on the show before. I just never had a chance to meet you in person, so it was great that we had a chance to do that.
Yeah, you know, and we really appreciate your support of the movement, Tony. Getting to meet you in person at the training and at the Union Hall was just a real treat.
Well, thank you.
And I'm excited about the mobilization this morning. We've already been getting a lot of attention for the demonstration that's about to go down at the General Electric shareholder meeting in the Renaissance Center.
Well, tell me about the turnout, first of all, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about how the mainstream media is covering this today, because I think you're going to get a kick out of it.
Sure. Well, you know, I'll be honest, I'm actually on a bus bringing some more people to the demonstration. So I can't tell you who's there already, but I can tell you we're expecting hundreds, even thousands of people. I was at a community space last night with hundreds of folks who come from Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, from all across the country just to participate in this mobilization. So it's really inspiring to see folks unite around a common problem. The General Electric isn't paying their fair share. In the past 3 years, despite not paying any income taxes, they're getting millions of dollars in refunds from the government. We're subsidizing their outsourcing. We're subsidizing their efforts to lobby Washington, D.C. and Lansing to rig the system against the 99%. And it's just outrageous to see this sort of corporate behavior.
Yeah, well, there's no question, Ryan Bates, that is true. Interestingly, the mainstream media, and the reason that I kind of got a kick out of this is they're just not paying attention. If they would actually show up to some of the stuff they're invited to, they would know what they're dealing with this morning. They're, of course, quote-unquote, concerned with violence. The reason that's laughable, anybody that's been to any of the trainings that you and I have participated in and have been to understand that this is about non-violent direct action. Let me repeat that. Non-violent. They don't get it. They just don't get it.
And I'll tell you, this is a classic tactic by the 1%, Tony. Every time a critical mass, non-violent direct action comes together, immediately the folks who are being called to account for their bad behavior start to overreact. This is the sort of thing that happened in Seattle, the sort of thing that happens at a lot of the different, free trade demonstrations. And, the ones I've been to, every single time, it's the folks who are on the security detail who are committing any sorts of violence that happens. So I want to reiterate what you just said. We've trained our participants. We've gone into great lengths to ensure that today's demonstration is peaceful and that our message gets out in a safe way.
And no question. And in fact, I can definitively tell this audience, if somebody were to get overly aggressive, I know that it would get quelled instantaneously, because there's no way I or anybody else that's serious about the movement would allow that to happen. Period.
Absolutely. We have leaders trained who are instructed specifically. This is how we keep things peaceful and safe. We don't want the story to be about protesters getting in trouble. We want the story to be about how GE has outsourced tens of thousands of jobs over the past few years. We want the story to be about how GE has been donating money to ALEC so they can pass very conservative laws all across the country that are attacking workers, attacking unions, attacking women, attacking immigrants. We want the story to be about how GE isn't paying their fair share. We don't want it to be about a misbehavior on anyone's part.
No question, Ryan. That's true. Well, anyway, I know it's going to be a fantastic event today. Of course, I am on the air right now, and we're anticipating that as people gather at both Grand Circus Park, and now is the time, folks, for you to be going there, or to Hart Plaza. Now is the time for you to be going there. Either one is fine. So get over there now. There will be a mass movement over to the actual event, but everybody should meet there, and then we'll go from there. Ryan, send my love and my concern and to everybody there today. We'll of course be reporting on this tomorrow morning on the show, I'm sure of that. But just so proud of everybody that's involved in 99% Spring and asking General Electric to just be a good corporate citizen. All we're asking them to do is follow the rules like you and I have to follow, Ryan. That's all we're asking for.
Well, Tony, we really appreciate your support, your help in helping us to tell our side of the story. All we want is for folks like GE to play by the rules. And hopefully we're going to be able to make that point today. So please, come on down to Grand Circus Park. Come on down to Hart Plaza. The march is going to start around 8:30, so you still have time to get down there.
Absolutely, Ryan. Thanks so much. Good luck today, and we'll look forward to checking in with everybody tomorrow. Have a good time.
Thanks, Tony.
Listen, folks, I appreciate how they heap so much praise on me. I truly do, but I am one of the 99%. I assure you, I'm not making six figures here. I'm not. I'm a good middle class guy. Well, maybe not so good to some of you, but I am, really. I am. Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press. When we continue, we will have some time for open lines the next hour. I'll remind you where I'm speaking this evening. We've got a lot to do yet, so another hour of First Shift. Stay where you're at. Much more to come. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
We are still working on that problem on 94 westbound as you approach the Lodge Freeway. Several vehicles are disabled on the right shoulder. A hauler lost its load, causing flat tires. And you got stop-and-go traffic from 75. On 94 westbound at Chalmers, an accident has your left lane blocked. That's causing stop-and-go traffic from 8 Mile. And we got some slow traffic on 75 southbound between Davidson and 94. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Mitt Romney rolls, taking all five Northeast primaries handily, now that Rick Santorum is out of the race. And he signaled the start of the general campaign last night, taking on President Obama.
He will run a campaign of diversions and distractions and distortions. That kind of campaign may have worked at another place and in a different time, but not here.
President Obama, meantime, is telling college students he'll continue to press Congress to extend low interest rates for student loans. Arizona's immigration enforcement law has its day in the Supreme Court today. The justice is hearing oral arguments on the law's constitutionality, including a provision that requires police to question a person's immigration status. And parents, it's just another reason to be on your guard. Teenagers are now showing up in Los Angeles emergency rooms after drinking liquid hand sanitizers. Authorities say it's a cheap and accessible way to get drunk, and it's potentially deadly. This is NBC News Radio. Mad cow disease has turned up in California, first U.S. case in 6 years. But the USDA says there's no danger to humans. NBC's Robert Bazell.
Well, this is the fourth confirmed case in the United States since 2003, and officials are still investigating how the dairy cow contracted the disease. The government is stressing there is no threat to human health.
A new drug survey says painkiller abuse starts most often at home, with people getting pills from family or friends the first time, then going to doctors or dealers to get their fix. Don't look now, but gas prices are actually going down. AAA says we're paying an average $3.84 for regular, down a penny overnight, down 6 cents the past week. Even with a decline in gas prices, they're still about 50 cents higher than they were in January. And try not to yawn, but the Scottish city of Dull has asked the Oregon village of Boring to become its sister city. As one official put it, it's a match made in PR heaven. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. According to the signs, Ford is having some sort of a big tire event. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event.
They're big.
What about the selection?
Big.
Get the low-price tire guarantee, plus a $100 rebate when you buy four select tires.
So I think we can agree then that Ford's tire event is good-sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 531-12.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
A couple of blue chips are cracking open their quarterly books this morning. Boeing shares higher pre-market as its profits surged 58% in the first quarter. Revenue also jumped, and both were better than expected. Caterpillar reporting a 29% jump in quarterly earnings, hitting a record level, and the big equipment maker is raising its profit outlook. Meanwhile, worries that the iPhone has passed its best days of growth have been put to rest, as Apple says it was a big jump in iPhone sales that helped it crush profit forecasts in the last quarter. Profit almost doubled as Apple sold 35 million iPhones in the opening 3 months of the year. Anti-Walmart groups using the retailer's Mexico bribery scandal to their advantage. USA Today says New York's Walmart Free NYC, for one, has been lining up fresh support since the bribery and cover-up allegations. It wants an investigation into the retailer's U.S. expansion tactics. Wall Street may head higher this morning. S&P futures are ahead by 9 points. NASDAQ surging 53 points. Dow futures gaining 38. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. Fiona, according to the signs, Ford is having some sort of a big tire event. I just want to confirm a few things. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event.
They're big.
Okay. What about the selection? Put that in your own words for me.
Big.
I see. In terms of rebates, how would you really sum the whole...
They're big, Mike. Big.
Sensing a pattern.
Ford will beat any competitor's advertised price on name brands with the low-price tire guarantee. Plus, get a $100 rebate when you buy four Goodyear, Continental, Pirelli, Hankook, Dunlop, or Yokohama tires. Now that's a pretty big deal.
So I think we can agree then that Ford's tire event is good sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
That's a great answer. I had no idea you were going to go there.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. $100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 5/31/12.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us. And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now. First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, the 25th day of April 2012. For those of you that are going down to the protest of General Electric, have a good time. Be safe. Be comfortable. Be warm. Although I'm sure, listening to Anthony's weather forecast, that you don't need to worry too much about the weather today. I will remind you now and a little bit later on in this hour, for those of you on the east side, I will be speaking this evening at the in the Grosse Pointe Park at the library on Jefferson Avenue at the Grosse Pointe Park Library on Jefferson Avenue at 7 o'clock. So if you'd like to come out and say hi to me this evening, please do that. I'm looking forward to going out there and speaking to the group called Points for Peace. Points for Peace. So we'll look forward to that this evening. But we turn our attention now to our only guest in this hour, which means we do have a little time for open lines a little bit later on in the hour, as well as getting to some issues including what might end up being an exception to the smoking ban. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but give me an intro and let's get going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
Recall, in my mind, is for malfeasance in office. It's for the rare occasion when you have somebody who says, I will do X, and then does Y. And even then, I think it's got to be a very egregious instance of that to justify a recall.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
The question becomes, how much of a serious discussion is this? How much of a productive discussion is this?
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now, after having to miss us last week, and we did miss him, is Stephen Henderson. Stephen, welcome back. We appreciate you being with us once again this morning.
Nice to be back, Tony.
You know, I'm thinking as we ramp up to talk about our topic this morning, when the Free Press goes to print their, in November, when they go to print, or actually it'll be in October, their election issue, where you guys put down all the candidates and from every district and all the issues, that's actually going to be an entire section this time. It's not going to be one or two pieces of paper. It's going to be an entire section. Now, isn't this a little insane? Have you ever seen so many initiatives going into an election year?
That's a good point. You know, I hadn't thought about the number, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of them this year, and I guess I'm not sure what that's about, other than the fact that it's really easy to get stuff on the ballot here. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of stuff that people are going to be asked to vote up or down, or at least people are planning to try to get that. I'm not sure how many of them have been actually approved yet.
But. Well, here's the distinction. What we're going to talk about here in just a moment, for those of you who are aware, and we actually did a poll question on this just a couple days ago, which was the Maroon family announcing that they were going to fund, because somebody's got to fund this stuff, an initiative to put on the Michigan ballot this November to have us vote on the new bridge. All right.
Right.
We'll talk about what that means here in a moment, Stephen. But, again, this involves another 322,000 or more signatures. Now, I stop and think about the marijuana question. I can go on and on. I'm thinking to myself, those that do that for a business, that collects petition signatures as a business, they've got job security till November.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's the way to put it, too, the job of collecting signatures, because if you think any of these things are done sort of organically out of a political movement, then you're pretty naive. I mean, they pay circulators to go with these petitions and get signatures. Like you said, there's a lot of people doing it right now. And, you know, one of the things to keep in mind also with these petitions is a lot of times they're about trying to make a different point than what the petition itself is about. Both parties and the interest groups that support those parties use the petition process as a way to try to mobilize their voters about candidates. And so to try to get somebody to the polls, if your candidate's not all that exciting, sometimes you put something else on the ballot you think they care about. And so, you know, and that gets to, again, how sort of manipulative this whole thing is. I mean, it really is a junky part of, in my opinion, of the democratic process here in Michigan. And, you know, like if, I think I've said this before, we're not California, which has this all the time. You know, every election there's lots and lots of ballot questions because it's even easier there than it is here, but we're moving in that direction. I mean, if you look at the number of these things that people are putting together, it's going up and not down.
Well, there's no question. You know, I want to, and again, maybe that's a conversation save for either later on in the interview or some other time. What I want to do, though, is I want to bring you back literally one calendar year to an op-ed piece that you wrote about the bridge, about the need for this bridge. Did you think that when you wrote that literally last May, I mean, we're almost to May now,
Right.
Did you think when you wrote that a year later we'd still be having the discussion over should we, who's going to do it, who's going to fund it, or did you think we'd actually be doing it by now?
Well, you know, if you go back a calendar year to May, that was right when the governor started his big push for the bridge. And at the Mackinac Conference, in fact, at the end of May, that was the centerpiece of his whole presentation up there was, we got to get this bridge built. You know, we're gonna push really hard on this. And up until that point, he'd been a governor who'd sort of picked one issue at a time for a couple months and pushed it through and gotten it done. And he hadn't had a whole lot of trouble with any of that stuff. And so, yeah, I think it's fair to say that a year ago, it seemed very likely that by now, at least, we wouldn't be arguing about whether to have the bridge. We might still be arguing about how to pay for it or where exactly it was going to go. But the bridge itself, I think it would have been fair to say would have been a settled issue. Of course, now, a year later, the bridge is, I think, the major policy failure of the Snyder administration's first year. And you've still got the Maroons fighting, you know, tooth and nail to prevent it from even being an issue that the legislature votes on. I mean, they've kept that from happening.
Well, they have kept that from happening in the old-fashioned way. They've bought some silence is what they
did.
They
bought some silence, that's right.
Well, I mean, let's just be honest about it. That's exactly what they did. Now, Steve Henderson, if we go to editorial in the Detroit Free Press. The title is Ballot Question is Maroon's Newest Ploy to Stall Public Bridge. So the question that I need to ask here, sometimes a quote-unquote ballot issue isn't really about getting something on the ballot. It's more really about stalling something you don't want to get an answer on yet.
Right. Well, I mean, this is an attempt to take a major policy decision away from the elected branches and put it directly in the hands of voters, which sounds good, right? It sounds very democratic and respectful of voters. But of course, I mean, if you think of it in more explicit terms, it doesn't make sense at all. A bridge is just a road across the water. You know, and I think we've gotten ourselves all twisted up about this bridge being all kinds of different things because that's what the Maroons want to tell us it is. But it really is not different from I-94 or the Mackinac Bridge or the Sioux Locks, for that matter. I mean, these are infrastructure projects that government exists primarily to manage. And there are lots of good reasons that we let government and not private individuals do that. You know, the idea that somehow it doesn't make sense for the legislature or the governor to be able to make those decisions is ridiculous. We wouldn't for a second entertain the idea that the people ought to vote about whether to redo I-94 on the east side of Detroit. No, that's an infrastructure project that we elect people to make the decisions about what needs to be done, and to some extent to try to depoliticize those decisions. This is an attempt to sort of remove that veneer of objectivity and make it, I think, a more political issue.
Now, if there's no question that is true, and we just made the comment, you know, they've been able to control this issue the old-fashioned way. They've been able to buy people off, and clearly that's what they've done. We're going to need to take a quick break here, Stephen. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the reality of, you know, and we actually talked about this on the show last week. In that community, in the Delray community that is desperately in need of this bridge to happen, after 8 years, Stephen, 8 years, there are people that have been burned out of their homes, that have really been forced out of their homes by virtue of crime, that had been holding on because they thought they were going to be able to get some little payday out of this.
Right.
Let's talk
right
about that on the other side. Stephen Henderson, my guest with the Detroit Free Press. I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll also discuss when we come back, as Kevin Moore, the president of Teamsters Local 299, has shared with us, the Maroons as employers have been, according to him, first-class employers. Does that matter? We'll come back and discuss it all. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony
Trujillo. Hot dog. Yep, that's me. Yeah, no shame in my game. You can almost get that here and now.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride, we got a couple of accidents that have been cleared. First one on 696 westbound just before DeQuinder, but you still got stop-and-go traffic from the Hayes Grosbeck exit. And on 94 westbound at Chalmers, they just cleared that one, and you got stop-and-go traffic from 9 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center this year, marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, Stephen Henderson once again is my guest. He is the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal on PBS. We do visit with him every Wednesday. At this time, a pleasure to have him back. Stephen, last week in the Delray community, a town hall meeting that got heated. They want answers. They desperately want this bridge to happen. Promises have been made. Promises have been broken. Proposed legislation has been talked about. How do we protect this community? What can we do? In the meantime, nothing happens. For this particular community that is suffering, and there's no question they're suffering, where are the answers there?
Well, I think that's one of the really unfortunate consequences of all this is that these are people's lives and their homes and their community are all sort of being held up by the indecision about this bridge. I happen to think the bridge would probably be a good thing, a stabilizing influence on that community. There are people who would disagree with that, but either way, I think at this point is you have to agree that the best thing for them is for a decision to be made. I mean, if you were somebody who was thinking about staying or thinking about leaving, this bridge would figure pretty prominently into your calculations about that. And the sort of back and forth, on again, off again of it makes that more complicated. And these are the kind of things that I think neither the politicians who are voting on it nor the Maroons, for whom this is about money and nothing else, ever really have to think about. For them, it's more of an economic or political issue. It's not a personal one, but for the people in Delray, it's absolutely personal.
Yeah, and in fact, and I don't even know how to read this, Stephen, but I'll throw it out there. They're during this town hall / press conference, which involved lawmakers and representatives of the community. Literally, as they were having this event, literally across the street from where they were having it, arsonists set a house on fire as if to make the punctuation point.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
We control this neighborhood. Get out.
Right, right. You know, I mean, and that's a kind of sentiment that I think you've got a lot of in certain areas of Detroit right now, where people feel isolated, where people feel abandoned by the city, by city government. You know, the level of city services in Delray is embarrassing by any standard. You know, you add that on top of the poverty down there and the joblessness and the hopelessness. You know, these kind of things trigger emotions that seem irrational to other people, but have their roots in something very real. And again, that's not what the Maroons are concerned about. That's not what the legislators who are taking their money are concerned about. And that's the real tragedy here.
Well, you know, and I said before the break that Kevin Moore, who is a regular guest on this show, is the president of Teamsters Local 299, happens to be those that he represents, the workers at the bridge. Can't say enough nice things about the Maroons as employers, that they've been great to negotiate with, that they take care of their employees. Now, listen, they're billionaires. They've got money. They can certainly take care of their employees. But the point that Kevin makes is they do.
Yeah, well, you know, and I have to say over the last, I don't know, year and a half or two, I've gotten to know Matt Maroon. I feel like fairly well. I like him. I've gotten to know Mickey Blashfield, who works for them. There are none of these people that I dislike, and you know it's not about that or even how they run their business. It's about the interaction of their private business and the public interest that I take issue with. You know, this is a very wealthy individual and corporation that has a lot of private interests that butt right up against the public interest. The bridge is the biggest example, but we have lots of others in Detroit. I mean, the Central Depot, the train station, which has sat there empty for 20 years, is haunting that neighborhood as probably the largest abandoned structure in that area. They own that. And, you know, I think no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are, you have And to some extent, the rich and the powerful have even more of an obligation because of the fact that their interests butt up against the public interest. They have more of an obligation to take that into account. And I don't think the Maroons do a good job of that.
I would agree with you. I agree with you. And then I go back to this. God, I wish we had a lot more time. I go back to this a couple things, just very quickly. Number one, the commercials that have been nothing but unadulterated lies. And that's what they've been, Stephen. We can call it anything. They've been nothing but lies.
Yeah. I mean, it's misbehavior. It's corporate misbehavior on a level that it's hard for me to understand, except that it's completely self-interested. I mean, their strategy here is that every day that the Ambassador Bridge is the only crossing, the only bridge crossing at that river, is more money for them. And so if they can stall and stall and stall, it's about how much money they have. And they are blinded, I think, to every other consideration in this process, and they therefore will do anything to defend their position. And so lying on a commercial is not that big a deal.
Well, to them, you're right.
It's about protecting their interests. And, it's unfortunate because I think that given their money and their holdings in the city and the considerable political influence they wield because of that money, they could be a very different civic actor in Detroit. They could help turn things around.
You're so right. You know, interestingly, and although we've been talking about the bridge, you mentioned the Central Depot. I drove by there a couple weeks ago, if it was that long ago, and I dare anyone, Stephen Henderson, I dare anyone to not stand in front of that grand structure and not say to themselves, what could be?
Yeah, sure. I mean, think of other cities that have, other cities have train stations. Union Station in Washington, D.C. is a great example of a place that was turned into, a hub for economic development after its life as a big sort of central train station sort of waned. Now the trains are back at Union Station in Washington, but there's also a mall there and all kinds of other stuff. We could do anything with that, but you have to have an owner who has that sort of civic mindedness and figures, I'm not going to just let this sit here and rot. I'm going to do something with it to try to move things ahead for people. And that's just not who that's not who they've been.
Less than a minute left. Does the bridge get done?
I think eventually it does. I think it's a foregone conclusion that we need another bridge and that the bridge that will be built will be a public bridge. This is a stalling tactic. It is not a preventive tactic. It's about, again, every day that the Ambassador is open as the only crossing is more money in the Maroons' pocket.
All right. Stephen Henderson, as always, appreciate your service to this program. I do appreciate you. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal on PBS. Let's take a break. We're open lines after this. 888-552-3595. Let's lock it in. We'll finish it up in the next 30 minutes.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a couple of new accidents we're working on. Telegraph northbound, just before Joy Road, you have a three-car accident that has your left lane blocked. And on 96 eastbound at 75, you got two separate accidents blocking both shoulders on the ramp to 75 northbound. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is for the small business that refuses to give up. For the ones who still believe in a reward for hard work. And for those who recognize the potential that still exists in America. .us believes in you, and we want to do our part to make it easier for you to get online with the right web address, the tools that make it simple, and by building a community of small business owners. Together, we can kickstart America. Join the movement at kickstartamerica.us.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
What are these phantasmagoric money machines that they call private equity firms?
They're much in the news now, with former private equity tycoon Mitt Romney running for president on the claim that because of his years in that business, he knows how to fix our economy. Sure enough, private equity whizzes are all about the fix. They operate by borrowing big piles of cash from rich speculators to buy out XYZ Corporation. Then, to pay the high interest rates on this debt and to siphon off a financial killing for themselves, the fixers do two things. They plunder XYZ's assets, selling off profitable chunks of the corporation, and they severely downsize the XYZ workforce, firing as many workers as possible and demanding deep wage cuts and benefit givebacks from the employees they keep. It's a redistribution of wealth scheme, transferring XYZ's revenues from its many workers to its few equity partners, while creating no new products or wealth. Nothing equitable about it. But the fix also includes a set of very special partners, few of whom are even aware that they're in on the deal. Taxpayers. The private equity business model is not structured on old-fashioned free enterprise, but on a skewed system of tax loopholes punched into federal law by these financiers, lobbyists, and the lawmakers they own. For example, they are able to load up on such heavy debt to finance their corporate takeovers only because all of the interest they must pay to the speculators for that borrowed money is tax-deductible. In other words, our government directly subsidizes private equity plundering by covering their huge interest payments. This is Jim Hightower saying, to add to their fun, many of these tax code scammers grab such big debt deductions that they pay zero corporate income taxes.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, folks. A blessing to be with you this morning. I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us. We're open lines for the balance of the show. As always, my thanks to Stephen Anderson. I realize some of you don't agree with what Stephen has to say, while others of you enjoy him as much as I do. This idea, folks, that anything we do on this show is about just one of us or about one faction of who we speak to is ridiculous. So those of you that write me and say, you need to get rid of Stephen Anderson because I don't agree with him, that's not happening, number one. It's great conversation. And, folks, you and I don't agree on everything. Can we just understand that going in? A couple things. Number one, if you go to the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page, our poll question of the day is about legalizing the recreational use and possession of marijuana. Overwhelmingly, people, the 20-something votes for the legalization, a couple other strangling votes, I mean literally a couple straggling votes that are on the fringe of yes, one of them a definitive no. One out of all the votes, one of them's a no. So go check that out at the First Shift Facebook page. If you've not yet liked that page, would you go ahead and go over and do that? I'd appreciate it. But as I was over on the Facebook page, one of our listeners posted the following. You were discussing education this morning, she writes. Sadly, as a country, it seems many don't care. Should it be required? I think it would be a positive move for both employers and our country if some sort of education was required from people. And I think she means beyond K through 12. One would think wanting a forward-moving prosperous working country, the government would see the investment in higher education in forms of how the low percentage loans and grants is in their best interest. Well, they don't feel that way, sadly, and that's a very partisan issue. Sadly, she goes on to write, it seems too many on the right would rather keep the bulk stupid, that way ensuring a right-wing vote, and if female, forever pregnant. Well, we do know, as we take a look at the factual numbers, those on the right tend to be the less educated. You can interpret that any way you want. It's not my study. It wasn't commissioned by a liberal-leaning organization. Fair enough. It wasn't. So take that for what it's worth. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I haven't seen it in the paper this morning, but yesterday in the Senate, they approved by voice vote, that may be the key here, an exception to the smoking ban here in the state of Michigan. So let me just lay it out for you. It's not that complicated. According to this report, Senator Howard Walker of Traverse City, a Republican of Traverse City, added some boilerplate language to the budget bill directing the department not to enforce the smoking ban on charitable fundraising dinners that have been in existence for at least 10 years. That's right, part of the budget bill. So here's how it would work. If you are a charity and you do a fundraiser and you've been doing it at least a decade and you want to have smoking there, you can have smoking there. Now you're saying, why? Why would that matter? Cigar dinners. And in this particular state senator's district, Howard Walker, there is a Catholic charity that has an annual cigar dinner that raises $80,000 that they need. And I'm sure they went to their senator and said, can you advocate on our behalf? I don't have a problem with that. I don't even have a problem with it bringing it forward. What I do have a problem with is a voice vote on something that is far more critical than just kowtowing to one Catholic fundraiser, which in and of itself is problematic. So let's break this down. How difficult will it be for somebody to figure out how to now get around the rules if one of the exceptions is going to be if you have a charity that's older than a decade, you can have smoking there? How long will it be before somebody figures out a way to put that into a bar? I'm serious. How long will it take? How many people are meeting right now in a closed back room or maybe out in the open saying, okay, we've got to figure out a way to get around this? Bars hate this law. They hate it. They absolutely despise it. Absolutely despise it. Hate the no smoking law. Hate it. A lot of restaurants hate it. So if they actually allow this exception, which would just simply read, I gave it all to you. If it is a fundraiser for something that is 10 years old or older, they would allow exception to the smoking ban rule. Period. Now, as you can imagine, all the anti-cancer societies are up in outrage over this. Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer is unhappy about it. And let me quote her. She says, I have a very pointed question for my Republican colleagues. What part of no smoking don't you understand? The self-serving Walker Amendment did specifically carve out an exemption in the smoking ban recently enacted by this legislature for charitable fundraising dinners that have been in existence for the last 10 years. I am assuming that this charitable venture is not the Cancer Society. In other words, she went on to say, it carves out an exemption for your fundraising dinners so that you and your friends can sit around, smoke cigars, while the rest of Michigan abides by the rule of law. Mr. Walker said he was surprised at Ms. Whitmer's response because she supported providing an exemption to the three Detroit casinos for the smoking ban. Now, do any of you remember why they allowed the exemptions in the casinos? Any of you remember that? Because I do. Indian casinos, that's what happens. They can, because they don't have to... They don't have to adhere to federal or state law. Indian casinos were going to continue to allow smoking. Unfair advantage to them. Now, you've got to buy into the fact that somebody, instead of going to Detroit, if they live in Troy, is going to travel to Mount Pleasant or Kalamazoo, where the Indian casinos are. I mean, you have to kind of buy into that, or that there are, of course, you know, the Canadian casinos don't allow smoking either, right? You didn't know that, folks. So the conventional wisdom there was, well, listen, if the Indian casinos can have smoking, then we need to allow that. That was the reasoning behind. I'm not agreeing with it or disagreeing with it. I'm just telling you that's what the reason was. That's what the reason was. So that you understand that. So my question to you is, should they allow this exemption? Should they allow this exemption to the smoking ban? If you have a charity that as a fundraiser, I don't know, requires smoking. That's the way I'm reading it. You know, my fundraiser requires that we smoke. Therefore, this ban is unfair. The law is unfair to my fundraiser because we can no longer smoke, which helped us raise $80,000. Think about the lunacy of that. And then tell me that this is something that we need to kowtow to. Just saying. 888-552-3595. Stop and think about it in that context. The only way that we can raise money, $80,000 at a crack, is to have cigar smoking. If we can't do the cigar smoking thing, well, then we can't raise money. Really? Really? That's... I'm curious, and I don't know that I'll ever know the answer to this, and I'll do some homework.
Let's come up with a compromise.
What's the compromise?
Well, let you smoke as long as it's marijuana and not tobacco. You see, all of a sudden the GOP would be like, well, wait a minute, I don't think so. We're not down with that.
Yeah, you're right. They're not going to be down with that. No question that's true.
I think you might raise more money, I'm just saying.
Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan just tweeted, Scotch and cigar fundraisers for the GOP? What a shock. Yeah. Kind of crazy. This is really kind of crazy. I can't believe that Senator Walker, Jeff, just thinks that, you know, this covers it. It's for the Catholic charity. Therefore, God forbid, it's a Catholic charity, Jeff. How do we say no to the Catholic charity?
Well, we should just ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? He would obviously smoke cigars and drink scotch.
Probably illegal cigars. You ever been to one of those cigar fundraisers?
No, have you?
Oh, yes.
And there are illegal cigars.
Oh, those Cubans are everywhere. You know, we're not allowed to have Cuban cigars here in this country. They're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. Even in Traverse City. I don't know. I don't mean to upset the people up north, but yes, they do illegal things even north of Midland. Seriously, they do, Jeff.
Well, if you're going to do it illegally anyway, then what does it even matter? Leave the law the way it is and just keep breaking it.
Well, that's, you know, listen, I just find this so interesting that they spend years getting this law enacted. Years getting this law enacted. And now they're just willing to, and I don't know if the Catholic charity cigar fundraiser was one example or the whole reason for the Walker Amendment, but either way, I find it quite entertaining. All right, let's take one more quick break here. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595 is the number. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. I've got some announcements that I've got to get to on the other side, so we'll start with that before we get to some calls. And that's it. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So have you yet to register to vote? I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people, skills, and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012, at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back again. Feel free to join us if you'd like to comment on anything before we're done here in about 8 minutes. 888-552-3595. I will remind you one more time, I am speaking at Points for Peace tonight out in Grosse Pointe Park. I'll be at the Grosse Pointe Park Library at 15175 East Jefferson. And that's, again, in Grosse Pointe Park. Looking forward to coming out there. So those of you on the east side or anybody willing to travel, well, that's where I'll be. Tonight it's 7 o'clock. And, of course, I'll be hanging around after my remarks for the Q&A, which I always try to do. All right, my good friends at the Community Democratic Club, which is sponsored by Northville, Livonia, Plymouth Community, and West Oakland Dems. They are doing a little spring gala, Democratic spring gala. Saturday, May 19th, 2012, the keynote speaker is Congressman Hanson Clark. There will be a sumptuous buffet and cash bar at the elegant Meadowbrook Country Club on 8 Mile Road in Northville. If you want more information or to get tickets, and you must RSVP, by the way, by May 16th, you can call 734-776-1763. That's 734-776-1763. Or send an email to James Amar. That's J-A-M-E-S-A-M-A-R at wideopenwest.com. And again, that's Saturday evening, May 19th at 7 o'clock at the Meadowbrook Country Club. Their annual fundraiser, Democratic Spring Gala, with the handsome and honorable Hanson Clark as their keynote speaker. By the way, entertainment after dinner will be provided by Steve King and the Diddleys. I think many of you are familiar with them. Anyway, you might want to check that out. God, there's so much to get to here. All right, don't forget, on Saturday we have a couple different events. Chris Mialakis talked about the memorial event for fallen workers. That's going to be at 2 o'clock at the UAW Ford National Project Center on Jefferson. There's the War on Women rally at Roosevelt Park at 2 o'clock. Those are both at 2 o'clock, by the way. I will be speaking at the Young Democrats of Michigan Mixer for their Labor Caucus, and that is going to be at the Signature Grill at the riverfront in Detroit. And about 5 o'clock is when I'll be speaking. I'll be there about 4:30, speak about 5, and then after that we'll be going over to the Jeff Jack dinner. Don't forget, if you haven't yet registered for the Michigan Summit, you need to do that. And just go to themichigansummit.org, themichigansummit.org, and register there. And that'll do it for announcements for today. We'll get to, I'm sure, more of them tomorrow. Jeff and I were talking during the break, and I like his idea to make these fundraisers marijuana smoking only. And then you charge money to cover the cost of the marijuana, because you got to cover your costs there, right? And then you actually charge for everything else. If they got cotton mouth, they want to drink something, you charge them like $10 a drink. They'll pay. Trust me, they'll pay it. Food?
$7 for a bag of Doritos.
There you go. A small bag, of course. Food? I mean, you know, you could do it on the cheap. You could do hot dogs, whatever. You do it on the cheap. And again, the higher you get people, the more of the munchies they're going to have. And, you know, you can charge whatever you want for the food at that point. I mean, I think that would be a much better and probably much more successful fundraiser, as fundraisers go. Just suggesting. I mean, if the only way they really think they can raise this money is by cigar smoking, you're just not thinking outside the box. Be a little more creative. Lots of ways to raise money. Lots of ways to raise money. I'm just saying, it's that simple. I do have actually one more announcement, because it's on May 10th, and I want to make sure I mention this, at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. They're going to be screening a movie titled Her Story, Dispelling the Negative Stigma of Abortion. And the poster that comes with this, in big, bold letters, says, it's not an easy choice. And it's not. We know that. Interestingly, yesterday, I received a phone call from one of our listeners who is very upset with me over the series we're going to start next week with Planned Parenthood. Asked me if I understood my moral dilemma. I don't have a moral dilemma, but I understood where he was coming from. Asked if he could send me a bunch of information from right-wing organizations that would prove his point, and only his point. While he was telling me I was being closed-minded, he did not have an open mind. I'm okay with that. I don't need folks trying to tell me what I morally can or cannot do. I get some of you disagree with some of the things I say on this show. I'm okay with that. You know, you don't all have access to my email. I assure you that there are people that, although we agree on most every issue, we don't agree on everyone, and they get very upset with me.
Is it bad that I just kind of figured that it was a he?
Well, it was a he. But no, that's not bad, because it makes sense. I don't, obviously women think differently about a woman's choice than men do. They do. Obviously they have to. Now, listen, I know plenty of women that are, you know, that view abortion extremely negatively, as negatively as any man might. Okay, I get that. I totally get that. All I'm saying is that we need to protect a woman's right to choose. We need to, more than anything, protect their access to health care, which is really the vast bulk of the work that Planned Parenthood does. Why don't people, Jeff, that's the part that gets me. The vast majority of the work that Planned Parenthood does is really about preserving life, because that's really what they're doing. So why do people focus on that tiny percent of the, again, access to choice that they give women? I don't understand. I just don't understand it.
I've been thinking that for everything that we've discussed. It seems like there's always, you know, for the majority, if the majority of something works, then all the opposing side will focus on is that less than 3% that where it doesn't. If you're talking about, you know, helping people out, welfare, and saying, well, you know, there is a small percentage that takes advantage of it, so we must get rid of it completely. Same with this.
Yeah. You know, again, it's just...
It's a wonder we have planes. I mean, seriously, all the crashes that go on with plane crashes.
Well, you know, I tried to have a conversation with this gentleman. I didn't have to. Obviously, I could have. And I right away, my hackles went up, and I got very upset. And I took a deep breath. And you know, especially when he told me that I was being closed-minded, as he wouldn't listen to me, but I'm the one that was being closed-minded. And I tried to remind him. Of all the lives that Planned Parenthood has saved, but he didn't want to hear that. Nobody ever wants to hear that because it flies in the face of what they passionately believe. Anyway, we've got to get to the top of the hour. We're done for today. Tomorrow we'll be here. Kevin Moore joins us. We got a lot of stuff going on. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. I'll see everybody in Grosse Pointe Park this evening. In the meantime, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we check your commute, we're still working on a couple of problems. First, on Telegraph Road northbound just before Joy Road, 3-car accident has your left lane blocked, and still working an accident on 96 eastbound at 75. Actually, it's two separate accidents blocking both shoulders on the ramp to 75 northbound, and that's also causing slow traffic from Warren. With the traffic update, I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 64 degrees with showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, 48 degrees and more showers. Tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees with clear skies and sun in the late afternoon. And it's currently 41 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.